Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Hosea as we continue our sermon series through the minor prophets, and we're in the book of Hosea today and, Lord willing, next Sunday as well. Hosea chapter 4. If you're using the blue Bible in the pew rack in front of you, you will find it page 638. Hosea chapter 4. And verse 1 says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land." And here is the charge. "There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land." And skip down to verse 6. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, this was written over 2,700 years ago. Surely this does not apply to us today. I mean, come on. We live in what has been called the information age, also known as the computer age or the digital age. And just as the Industrial Revolution transformed many of the countries of our world from an agrarian or agricultural-based society into an era marked by mass production and industry, so also the digital revolution has propelled us into what has rightly been called an information explosion. And what an explosion it has been. According to Thomas Barnett Jr. of Cisco Blogs, the annual global internet traffic reached 1 zettabyte last September. Now, apparently, that was a big deal. Those who social scientists and business analysts, 1 zettabyte. What is a zettabyte? Well, a zettabyte is a measure of storage capacity. It is 2 to the 70th power of bytes, also expressed as 10 to the 21. That's 1 with 21 zeros behind it, or 1 sextillion bytes. Now, we don't deal with zettabytes on a daily basis, so perhaps this next slide would be more helpful. 1 zettabyte is approximately equal to 1,000 exabytes, 1 billion terabytes, or 1 trillion gigabytes. Now, gigabytes, I'm familiar with that. There's 32 gigabytes available on my smartphone. There's 256 gigabytes on my laptop. Many of the external hard drives, backups, you can get 1 terabyte of information. So this puts it into perspective. A zettabyte is 1 billion terabytes or 1 trillion gigabytes. That is how much annual internet traffic there was as of September 9th, 2016, just last year. And here is perhaps a helpful comparison that might help us to spatially think this out. If every terabyte in a zettabyte was 1 kilometer long, that would enable us, a zettabyte would enable us to go to the moon and back 1,300 times. It's a lot. But even more astounding is the world's capacity to create and store information. According to Andrew Cave in Forbes magazine, the current annual data creation rate is not just 1 zettabyte, it is 16.3 zettabytes, and that figure is forecasted to multiply tenfold by the year 2025 to 163 zettabytes. Again, using our analogy of every terabyte being a kilometer in length, that would be the equivalent of almost 212,000 trips to the moon and back. Absolutely astounding. So in this information explosion that we're living in, surely Hosea 4 verse 6 does not apply to us. Surely we will not perish for lack of knowledge. But wait, what kind of knowledge was the prophet speaking about? Back to verse 1. There's no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. Ah, there's the rub. In the midst of our information explosion, is the knowledge of God in the land increasing or decreasing? I think it would be safe to say that in many parts of the world, the knowledge of God in the land is indeed increasing. And we hear reports from our missionaries about how God is at work in miraculous and marvelous ways. But I think it would also be safe to say that there are some parts of our world where the knowledge of God is decreasing. In fact, I would suggest that perhaps in our part of the world, the knowledge of God is decreasing. And sadly, the decrease is often happening among Christians. As Christians, as believers, we say that the Bible is the Word of God. As Christians, as believers, we say that the Bible is divinely inspired and inerrant, and it is God's message for us for today. And yet, a recent study by Lifeway Research found that only 1 in 5 churchgoers read their Bible every day. And that study also found that 1 in 5 churchgoers never read the Bible at all. 1 in 5. Wheaton College professor Timothy Larson wrote, and I quote, "It has been demonstrated that biblical literacy has continued to decline. Gallup polls have tracked this descent to a current record low, and George Barna has called this a crisis of biblical illiteracy." A crisis of biblical illiteracy. Why is that? In this golden age of information in which we live, where we can find answers to our questions through a quick Google search within seconds, why is our knowledge of God and our understanding of the Word of God not at an all-time high? Well, there are many reasons, I'm sure. But I would like to suggest this morning that perhaps one of the biggest reasons for this crisis of biblical illiteracy has to do with distractions. Distractions. Now, please don't get me wrong. Please do not misunderstand. Distractions can be good. Distractions can be healthy. Pursuing hobbies and other pastimes can be very therapeutic in bringing much needed balance into our lives. But if these distractions always divert our attention away from God and away from the Word of God, then something is wrong, my friends. Something is seriously wrong. Something is out of sync. For example, what is your plan for the rest of this day? Will part of your plan for the rest of this day, at least part of your plan, be to mull over and reflect deeply on Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Lord, what does that really mean? What does it mean for me? What can I do to increase my knowledge of you? Is that part of your plan for the rest of the day, to mull over what we have been experiencing here this morning? Or will the first thing that you do after the benediction is pronounced and after the last amen is said, will the first thing that you do be to take out your smartphone and see if somebody sent you a text or somebody messengered you? And will you end up spending a large part of the rest of this day checking news feeds, updating Facebook posts, playing Angry Birds or Solitaire or whatever you're into playing? And again, please do not misunderstand me. I am not opposed to social networking or to video games or to other distractions and wonderful technology that is now available at our fingertips. Not opposed to that at all, unless it crowds out completely time that we could be spending with God in prayer and in worship, even while you're dancing and vacuuming. Crowding out time spent reading and studying and memorizing and looking for ways to apply the truths of Scripture to our lives. If those technological distractions distract us that much, then you better believe I have a problem with them. Back in 1986, Neil Postman published an influential essay titled "Amusing Ourselves to Death." Very interesting title. Amusing Ourselves to Death. And in his essay, he argued that personal freedoms would disappear, not when a totalitarian government imposed oppression from the outside, like George Orwell pictured in his book 1984, but rather personal freedoms would disappear when people came, quote, to love their oppression, to adore the technologies that undo their capacities to think, like Aldous Huxley depicted in his book Brave New World. Postman wrote this in his essay, listen carefully, and I quote, "What Orwell feared were those who would ban books. What Huxley feared was that there would be no reason to ban a book, for there would be no one who wanted to read one. Orwell feared those who would deprive us of information. Huxley feared those who would give us so much that we would be reduced to passivity and egoism. Orwell feared that the truth would be concealed from us. Huxley feared the truth would be drowned in a sea of irrelevance. And Huxley noted in a later book, mentioned again by Postman in his essay, that we have, quote, failed to take into account man's almost infinite appetite for distractions. As I said just a moment ago, distractions can be helpful. They can be healthy, but not if they totally distract us from God and from the Word of God. So what are we going to do about all of this? Look over at Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. And Hosea 6, verse 6, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice, this is the Lord speaking, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. The knowledge of God more than any of our other religious activity. Now, Alex Christian, who designs the PowerPoint slides for the sermons each week, used as the background for this next slide a beautiful picture of the sky that he took just over here at Wascana Lake. He's turning into a, not an amateur photographer, but a professional photographer. And then he designed this slide based on a sermon that he listened to by John Piper, and inspired by A.W. Tozer, and you see the Tozer quote there, the man who would truly know God must give time to him. And then the question on the slide asks, what percentage of time do you tithe a day? And that's easy enough to calculate. There are 60 minutes in an hour and 24 hours in a day. 60 times 24 gives you 1,440 minutes in a day. So all we need to do is add up the number of minutes that we spend in the scriptures plus the number of minutes that we spend in prayer, divide that by 1,440, and that will give us the percentage of time spent in the Word and in prayer. And here at Heritage Alliance Church, we take very seriously pursuing and growing in the knowledge of the Lord. Very seriously. Every Sunday, we offer Bible-based teaching in the sermons. We have children's church and club DJ and quiz meet for young people. Lord willing, we'll be able to offer Sunday school again in the fall for all ages. There are small group Bible studies in homes, and as you heard early in the service, we plan to run the Alpha course again starting in September. On top of all of that, anyone who is a part of our church has free access to Right Now Media, an online video library with thousands of excellent Christian resources for children and for young people and for adults. All you need to do is print your email address on the clipboard, on the welcome booth, in the main entryway, and we will send you an invitation email to get you started. And in addition to all of that, I am absolutely thrilled to be able to announce the grand reopening of our church library, which will definitely help us to grow in the knowledge of the Lord more effectively. I'm going to invite Sharon Durston to come and join me here on the platform. Sharon is our church librarian, and she's going to explain a little bit about the ins and outs of the library. And may I say that it would not have been possible without our Canada Summer Job Grant students who began this project last summer, Danae Durston and Janessa Robertson, and then continuing this summer, Danae and now Amy Palouk. Their hard work has made all of the difference. Sharon.